Conventions today and tomorrow. An hour of navel gazing. This panel was recorded at SweCon 2015, Confuse, in Linköping, Sweden. The participants are Saja Kyllönen, Anna Davor, Johan Anglemark, Eva Holmqvist, Fia Karlsson, and it is moderated by Carl Johan Norén. SweCon-poddar, en poddradio från svenska science fiction och fantasy-kongresser.
Welcome to our next panel on the conventions today and tomorrow, that is in the future, an hour of navel gazing. I'm Carl Johan Norén, the moderator, and the next one here is Fia.
And I'm Fia. I'm in this panel because I still remember how it is to be a newcomer in fandom, and I want to tell you all about how my experience have been, and also I want to make a convention in Malmö in the future, my first convention, and I have some thoughts about how I should do that. So I was drawn to fandom because of big names, I think, in the beginning, but I stayed in fandom because of the people of and the brilliant people, my friends. So my perspective on fandom is that it's built on hanging with your friends, and the best way to do that is to make conventions.
Thank you.
Yeah, my name is Saya, and I'm from the Eastern neighbor. And I suppose I'm here because I was co-chairing last year's FinCon, which is the Finland's largest convention. And I'm still a new beginner in here. I have been an active member less than 5 years. But this sort of swallows girl when you give the little finger and then you're gone. Mm-hmm. But it's because there are many interesting books to read and interesting people. That's why I keep on coming back.
Åka?
Yes, I'm Åka, and I have to agree with you that what I really, really love about conventions is meeting people who are interesting to talk to because we share some of the same references. Well, we're interested in the same things, basically. And that's also why I came to my first convention. To make a long story short. And I think the meetings, making it possible for people to meet and talk, that's the most important thing.
Johan?
Yeah, I'm Johan. I've been doing this for 32 years. And I suppose the reason why I go to conventions is because I go to conventions. It's circular. But I mean, really, you are my family, and this is the family gathering. Most of the people in here I don't see other than at conventions, and I really love sitting down and talking to them. That's basically it these days.
Eva?
My name is Eva, and I started reading science fiction as soon as I could read, and I came to science fiction through Häpna and the short stories there. And in Häpna there were some points about fandom, but I thought it was dead. And I thought it was dead until I published my first science fiction novel, and people kept asking me, but aren't you going to the conventions? And I said, well, are there any conventions in Sweden? And I went to the first one in 2012, I think it was, and immediately I felt welcome, because suddenly I was in a place where I could discuss science fiction literature with people who were just as passionate about it as myself.
And that's the way it should be, right?
I have another question for the panelists, for all of you, really. If we take a look at the Swedish con scene in, say, 5 years' time, how do you want it to? Which direction do you want it to have gone in? For example, having a huge, humongous Swecon in maybe in Stockholm or Uppsala like every year, or in some other direction. You want?
I think that the Finns need more conventions of our type, and that we need a FinCon. We need. We don't need. I think Swedish fandom is doing pretty well, and we have good large conventions. But I would like to for us to have one large big tent festival that with free entrance that will really get it. Because Finnish fandom, to my estimate, Finnish fandom today is about three times the size of Swedish fandom. I mean, if we exclude role players and LARPers and all the fuzzy people that you have to discuss whether they are fans or not. But I mean, proper science fiction fandom, Finnish fandom is three times as large as Sweden, despite Finland being about half the population. And the reason for that is FinCon, because it attracts so many people with no threshold at all. They can just walk in and have a look, and some of them get stuck, like Saya. And it would be really great if we could have something like that as well.
One big convention for you is Åka.
I want more kinds of conventions. I wouldn't mind having a big convention like that, but my favorite thought that I have been playing with for a while is that we would need more smaller conventions, because when I got into fandom, it's getting close to 20 years ago now, the conventions were really small, but they were really nice. And some years we had like three conventions in Sweden, which is not too many, but three small conventions, and you can go there or you don't. You just wait for the next one where you live. So I wouldn't mind more small conventions and more experimental conventions, maybe one day, or a small convention that focuses, that is centered around a workshop of some kind. Well, just make more different kinds of.
Eva?
Yes, I agree with Åka, and I discovered lately that there are a lot of people who actually loves science fiction, but has no idea that there are a fandom. Because I meet them sometimes when I talk about what I write, and they say, oh, I love science fiction, and they have very interesting discussions about literature. So I think if you have very many different kinds of conventions and one-day conventions and a big large with no entrance fee and so on, I think we can attract those that actually love literature and want to discuss the literature but doesn't know that fandom exists.
So we have a few votes for more diverse content. Yeah, you have wanted to say something?
Yeah. I think it's important for our continuing existence to allow new generations of fans to make their mark on fandom too, because fandom is evolving and we need to learn new things and adapt to new environments, just like the Borg Collective. Mm-hmm. We are the fandom. Your cultural and technological distinctiveness will be added to our own. Resistance is futile. And how do we tell fantastic stories today? I think we need to ask ourselves that. And what do we discuss when we meet? I think a way for fandom to evolve in the next years or so could be to talk about more about how stories are told in different medias also, because that's something we're all interested in.
But anyway, even if we run more conventions or a few larger conventions, we need new fans. How do you think we can make new fans coming to our first to our convention for the first time? How can we make them feel more welcome?
By making new traditions, and by explaining what we are, and that's something I feel like we've not always been so very good at. I had last Swecon in Gävle, I had some friends of mine who were there the first time, And they didn't know the difference between our cons and another con. They thought it was just like GothCon, so they had a lot of board games with them. And they were a bit disappointed, and I think we have to think a bit about what image we project. I mean, cons are talked about in different ways, LingCon, SydCon, and we need to explain to the people how we are distinguished, how fandom is distinguished from them. And vanished expressions are strange and confusing to new fans, so I think we should be better at explaining what we are.
Mm. Yeah, I think you are sort of right. Mm. But how about tempting, luring them in, for example, organizing those small conventions that Anna mentioned? In Finland, it's quite typical that almost every city that has some kind of science fiction club or a couple of associations that have to do with those subjects have either annual or biannual one-day convention. In Jyväskylä, where I'm from, we tend to have it in October because our Science Fiction Society 42 is, of course, on the week 42, which is quite close to the... What is it? Höstlovet?
Halloween?
No, the autumn leave, yeah. And but still, our public record for that four-hour convention, four-program item convention, has been 80 people. It's free; everybody can come in. We keep it in the, nowadays in city libraries, meeting room. People come in, and some of them stay, some of just pass by. There are some faces that have now been there four times. But I don't know who they are. They don't come anywhere else. I don't see them in our society's meeting, but they come to look upon. And it's probably what interests.
Well, the first thing is that people should know that it exists. Like you say, Eva, we could be better maybe at telling people that these conventions exist. But I think you also have a point, Fia, that we need to talk about what this is, because I have some conversations on Twitter sometimes with people, and I say, you would have so much fun on this at this convention. You should really come. And they say, yes, I know, but I'm not sure. And yesterday, I hate hanging out with lots of geeks. If there are more than seven in one room, I don't like it. and that was the guy who then admitted that this impression comes mainly from gamers, so he doesn't really know our community. So maybe
it comes from
gamers. Oh. He knows gamers, but he doesn't know us. So I think he should come.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think you tweeted something about that yesterday, and I met a number of people who really should be interested in cons. I have explained to them what a convention is about, and then has said, oh, you talk about science fiction. No, sorry, I don't want to do that. I don't like to talk about science fiction. I mean, I want to read it and watch it. Mm. And so, I mean, it's some people will not like conventions.
No, and that's okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be for everyone. But everyone who would like it should know about it. That's the point.
We are going to take questions later on here. Anything more, Eva?
Yeah, I think we have that people need to know about us and that we need to evolve and so on. But I also think it's very important with the attitude that we have to keep it friendly, and we have to, if we see a new face, start talking to the person and start asking them who they are and so on.
Except, of course, that there are a number of introverts who have asked people publicly to stop doing that because they don't want strangers coming up and talking to them. That throws them completely. So they are, I'm really saying, don't do this.
That's why we should have the mark. You should actually, I think that's a really good idea, the way they're doing it apparently at Nine Worlds. They have those signs you can have where on you, just to show to people whether you want to be contacted or not. I agree with you. Yes. You should always be able to assume that people want to be contacted. Yeah. But if they don't want to, it should be easy for them to avoid it also, yeah. because it could be really annoying if you really don't want to talk to people.
Yeah, in the experiments we did with the Mars lander, where we lived on board in those kind of housing modules that we are thinking about using on Mars, I read about it and they said that they had some tags. Mm. So, and they used, I'm in a happy mood and I am sad and so on. But here we could use that, well, I want to meet new people or I
want to be an owner.
Those tags exist. I mean, they are using them already at conventions.
And I think, that's a very, very good idea.
Yeah. As a corollary to that, do we have anything in our traditions or our spirit of community that can make it hard for people to feel welcome?
Of course. I mean, since we are, some of us have been friends go to any gathering where there are some people who have been friends for 10, 20, 30, 40 years and who really want to sit down and talk. I mean, of course, they will be sitting sort of with their backs out, facing outwards. I mean, yeah, that can be a challenge.
It's like
hard,
that.
It's hard to do anything about it, but I mean, we have to be aware of it.
If you just foster a culture of being aware of new people, then hopefully someone will notice the one person who really wants to talk to someone. So I think if we just keep talking about being aware of new people, that's the way to solve this.
One thing here is of course it's always easier to make contact with people who are also new. So trying to foster places at conventions where all the people are new to fandom will find each other and strike up new friendships. Because it's easier to form completely fresh friendships than to break into old ones. Mm.
Mm. For like this program that you will be having or had today, this convention 101, that how to do here for the new people. But it's also quite, sometimes it's very nice that you can like be on your own and to do what you feel like to do in the convention.
On the other, the trouble with the Con 101 panels I have is that they give a feeling of here when you have your Finnish decoder ring and a passed our exam, you are a part of fandom, but not before that.
No, I had that panel today or discussion, and I made it pretty clear that my experience when I was a new fan, and I've voiced my opinions loudly on this on the mailing list as well, I didn't like the expression fan at first and all the fanishness. It was this whole world that I didn't understand and I didn't feel part of it at first. And I think there's a threshold and we have to break that threshold by talking about it, but also being very open and saying like, I call myself a fan and that's because fandom is of our fans, but you don't have to call yourself a fan. You can be with us and you can have fun with us. You don't have to take that expression to your heart and just be open.
Mm-hmm. I am a fan of Hannu Rajaniemi and that's about it. But I still like feel that I start to get some membership in this crowd of people that tends to call itself fandom.
Eva?
I usually call them group.
One thing I think is important is that we need an acceptance of new ideas, new types of panels, and if someone comes up with an idea that we have an acceptance for it and doesn't know we haven't done that before immediately. Because I think there are many very good ideas of how we can evolve the fandom and how we can evolve these conventions that are, well, keeps in line the purpose of the conventions.
Okay.
I have one thought about that because I would encourage as many as possible to be part of the program. Mm-hmm. And I think that's for a certain type of personality, that's the way to become part of the community, really. Because some people, they don't feel that they, don't have the energy to just show up for something, just to walk around and just listen and see if they meet someone. Mm. They want to have a purpose with it. They want to have something to do. Mm. And for some people, I think just planting the idea with them that they can volunteer for the program. And if you suggest a program item that you want to do, it's almost always possible. If you have an idea for a workshop, you can actually just tell the committee, I would like to hold this workshop. And they will give you space.
Yeah.
And just spread this idea that it's actually possible to come there and do something.
Except that one of the problems with conventions for newcomers is that they often find that the panels are low quality because there are a number of fans sitting there who are not experts on the subject matter. And what they are saying is they like to chat. And if you encourage everyone to be on the programming, I mean, you have to strike a balance. A workshop,
but everybody
is great.
Has to start somewhere.
Yeah, but that will scare off people because panels are supposed to say interesting things, not just be a way of getting into fandom. You have to think twice before you do that. But I mean, yeah, participation is great.
Yeah, many people are good at something that they can actually. They have something to contribute. Not for everyone, though. I mean, not everyone is comfortable to sit in front of an audience. And for those, the way into the convention is something else.
Yeah. Eva?
I think we, besides panels, which are very, very good and very, very informative often, I think we need other parts of the program. For instance, I was in a conference, a test conference, as a matter of fact, that were very focused on experience sharing. And they had small tables placed all over with topics on top of them. And if you wanted to discuss that topic, you went to that table, and other people who were also interested in that came to them, and you had a discussion about that theme. And I think we could do some similar.
Yeah.
I was at the Visualization Center in Norrköping before I went here yesterday, and they have an exhibition where you can test different things. You can involve those things, so you have a part of a program that you can make some experiments and see how things work and have discussions around that and so on. So I think we could make people active in the program in different ways.
The group discussions, they are like that. And that's just, I mean, the thing with the group discussion is that you just erase the boundary between the panel and the audience.
Yeah.
And that's a way to include people and not make it feel like a stupid panel of people who don't know anything, because you're there to talk to each other.
Yeah.
Just humans meeting each other around the topic that you're interested in. So I think it's a good idea for those a bit fuzzy subjects where no one might be an expert, just do a group discussion and not a panel.
Mm-hmm.
Just a parenthesis. I'm having a group discussion about this panel later.
Yeah. Yeah, it will continue in another room. Related to this, and we've already covered it a bit, bringing people into the programming, but bringing new con-goers and become con-runners. Do you have any thoughts about that? Because that's the next step.
I think the small conventions again. I've noticed that some of the new fans the last few years think that it's much more complicated to run cons than it actually is. And I think the reason is because they have only been to big conventions. If we have the small conventions with 50 or 60 members, I mean, those are the type of convention you can actually sneeze out of your sleeve.
Yeah.
And I mean, if we had more of those, people could start somewhere and just do a small, easy convention.
Okay.
Yes, I have to say that some of the people who are very active con runners in Sweden nowadays have, you know, they have learned the thing by doing not so extremely well planned conventions.
Learning by failing.
That's also a possible way to go. Just do something that
Saya.
Well, last year's Lokakon's practical things took 25 minutes to wrap it together. Make the reservation for the locations and fill in the e-form for the local newspapers that, okay, put this free info. Mm-hmm. And then there comes somebody and makes a little story for the next issue. And it's quite... And then call the possible program keepers that, could you please? And they say, okay. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty much that. And then it is not that difficult, but it's completely different. A different thing when you have you expect there to be 3,000 or 6,000 people coming over for a weekend. That's a little bit different thing. Then it's only 2 years work, but you can start with the small things, and it's interesting. And then do local things, ask about people then what they are doing on your own neighborhood. And so then they ask their friends, okay, I went and promised to that crazy woman that I will talk about this, my research about comics and so, and would you please come and so, and listen to it, and so that there would be at least somebody. And suddenly you have this 40, 50 people in the room, and you actually have a convention, and it's fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually a new con runner, and with Kalle over there. Mm. Hi, Kalle. And we're making a con, a small con in October, just for Malmö fandom. And Malmö fandom started in 2012 when me and Socialist Simon were on a train home from Contrast. So it's just 3 years old, and it's our baby, but we don't have any practical experience, and we have been to Eurocons, we have been to Worldcons, we have been to several Swecons, and we feel like the pressure of Swecon is a bit damaging, perhaps. We have too high expectations of ourselves, or perhaps just me. But I feel like there is a bar set high, and there are high expectations, and we are trying something small because we want to test the water a bit. Mm. And the thing that I'm really a bit sad about is that I don't have any practical experience. So I've been talking on the mailing list about this and suggesting to people that they should bring me into their cons just as an observer or something so I can stand on the sideline and exactly, and see what they're doing and just write it down and copy them. Something like that. And guess what? Somebody wanted me to help a little bit on the side with Orkon 8. Come to Orkon 8. Yeah. That's my role there. And I think if we want fandom to live on, it's important to write down and keep writing down experience to keep the knowledge alive. So that's something you want us doing, and it's great.
Yeah.
Do you write convention reports?
Yes.
Yes.
Everyone.
Yes. And make the con look much better than it was, because that will attract new people in. So you won't be the only miserable ones next time.
Incidentally, I'm holding a workshop tomorrow about writing convention reports.
And I don't recommend it, because you're even allowed to write convention reports before the convention.
Why not?
I've already started mine.
Yeah. No, publish it before the convention. Another related
expectations about that convention to be.
Another thing about both programming and keeping fans. When people have run the convention, then get kids. Do you think it's important to make our cons kid-friendly, and do you have any ideas on good ways to do that?
I think it's important to make our cons so that parents can attend them. Yes.
Definitely. I don't know what kind of culture you have here, because this is pretty much the second convention I'm ever attending in Sweden. But in FinCon, we tend to have also babysitting, so that parents can go to some program item and leave their kids under supervision and playing and being taken care of for that program item, and then come if the kids feels comfortable with that. But otherwise, I don't actually care if there is some smaller younger members in audience who maybe may express their opinions about the things a little bit maybe louder. I don't care. I think it's just fine because kids don't learn to come in the places and if they are not taken with you.
That's how easy it is.
I think it's, I mean, from, if you think about the society in general, I think it's very important that children can be in places where adults are. So that we don't create a society where you put the children away until they grow up and then suddenly they are thrown out into the world. But the problem with conventions now, as I see it, is that we make conventions for our own sake because we want to do things that we like. So that's not the thing for children. And therefore, people tend to stay away or to find a babysitter for their kids when they want to go to a convention. So that way you don't see so many children at conventions. And in that way, you never feel that there is enough children to actually make some program for them. So it's like it goes in circles. You have to prepare it and tell people well in advance that for this convention, you could actually bring your children because we have made arrangements. And that, in that way, it could actually start. And I've been having conversations here at least twice during this weekend already about how fun it could be to make some program for school-aged kids, like between 7 and 15 or 6 and 15 or something, because there are so many things that you could do that are easy to prepare but would be fun. And you could have not a whole programming track, but a couple of things a day. And it wouldn't be that difficult if you just know that there will be at least two kids showing up.
Especially if you make them popular science. For example, have someone prepare something from the Pluto mission, if I take something new here, images and talking a little bit about both for kids and for adults.
And if you bring toddlers, it's usually difficult to put them away with someone else. But then a playroom is a good thing so that one parent can stay there with the kids and there is something to do so that you can actually exist within the venue.
Just if you have a Lego room, I can sit and watch.
Eva was first.
Yes, Lego room would be dangerous because the adults would hijack it.
Yeah. No, unless we put James shields to guard it.
Eva?
I think actually that it would be easy to make a lot of program points that could attract both adults and children. Around popular science, of course, with experiments. It could be to learn to make dragons and a lot of different things. And I think it could be very beneficial because not everyone is interested in sitting on a chair and listen to a couple of people discussing questions.
Fia?
Me and Hada had, do you remember, we had a rant about we should have these kids' camps to make them panelists. We should have something to train them for the future into fandom.
But, I mean, this
and learn them to analyze, they can learn to analyze literature and talk about themes and stuff like that in the kids' version, of course.
This ties in.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, that distracted me from the thing. Yeah, but why not? I have very good questions with my nephews. Good talks with my nephews who are 7 and 5 about the books that we read. Mm-hmm. They are very smart kids. Hard to believe that they are related to me. But it's also the same thing that attracts adults would probably work with the younger generation, is that you have many different things to do in convention. For example, we tend to believe in FinCon that it lures, that it gets people, also the bypassers, to attend, is because you can do so many things in there. You can go to different panels, you can go and go to the gaming room, play board games and
do different things. That there's that we try to provide like many different ways. That there's media related program, books, movies, Sherlock's, whatever, Sherlock's in whatever form, and what else is interest? What else interests people?
Okay.
At some conventions, we have had a gaming corner where, with board games so that people can play. Usually, it's not very well used. People don't tend to play that much, but it's still an idea just to have some board games if people would like to sit down and play. And what I would want, we had actually planned for like a crafts corner at the convention, and then we forgot about it. So, but the thing, the idea was that we have this great button machine, mm-hmm. and a thing like that can actually be somewhere where people can gather. You have a table, and you have some crafts project, something really simple, and a simple instruction, and just the materials lying there. And you can go there and make something, and that's so much fun, and almost everyone likes it. And if you have nothing to do right now, you just go there and create something. Yeah. So that's something I really think would add something extra
to. You want?
Well, speaking of games, I've seen that tried at several conventions, and I think, in my experience, about 1% of the convention members are interested in actually playing games at the convention. So whether it's meaningful to do it or not really depends on the size of the convention. For an EasterCon it is, for a FinCon it is, for our convention it's not. Except small filler games, like, I mean, the ones in the Gopher Hole, I mean, that you can play in 15, 20 minutes. Mm. I mean, those are fun to play in the bar. But back to what Fia said, slightly jokingly, about education camps for teenagers or kids. That's one of the
joking.
That's one of the dangers, I think. I mean, because some people really think that kids of fans brought to conventions are the future fans. They're not. It's really, really common that kids will not become fans because, I mean, they're not becoming fans just because they've been brought to conventions, except if they grow into the family. But then they are coming for the wrong reason, I would say. So, I mean, I think the key to making new people come into our conventions is to make people really interested in it, not people who have been dragged along against not having a say. So that also means that kids' programming should really be not to foster kids into becoming fans, but, I mean, just a way of, I mean, if we can do something that the kids love, fine, because, I mean, who doesn't want to have programming that kids love if we have it? But the main reason is actually to make the parents who are fans able to attend the cons.
But
about just about this thing, because I think it's really important if you're young and you start to get interested in something, you want to make this thing your own. And I don't know if necessarily a big convention would be the best way to start. If you try to make, say, for example, reading science fiction, if you want to make it your own thing, because then first, maybe for some people at least, it's good to first get to know it and learn something together with some friends, and then when you feel that this is my thing, then you can go to meet others. I don't know, maybe, because I sometimes feel that, for example, it could be intimidating to come somewhere where everyone wants to tell you how things really are. You know, because you want to discover it for yourself first. Okay. But on the other hand, I mean, we actually had something in Uppsala. We had a small, like, a weekend camp, and you can ask Annika about that because she attended. But that was for young people who were already interested. Yeah. Yes. They were already interested, and we wanted to just create an opportunity for them to meet each other and have, like, a youth camp for themselves, just to do something fun. And I hope it was at least a little bit successful.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I just had a thought. I think the best way to bring in new fans, young or old, is to bring them to a big convention, because then they meet many new people, and then bring them to a small convention so they can get to know the people more, so, where they have more intimate not intimate relation. Wow! Strike that.
Yeah, that's one way to make fandom grow.
Except it isn't.
It's more smaller cons are more intimate. That's what I mean.
Yeah, I'm going to take some quick yes no things about a few things we have at our cons here.
You also promised to bring in the audience.
Yeah,
we might have
4 minutes left here. But Anna, you had a question.
Well, it wasn't really. I'll take the one that I've actually waited for. I mean, are there any conventions north of Uppsala?
The question was, are there any conventions north of Uppsala?
Gävle last year.
Gävle. Yeah.
Gävle.
Okay, north of Dalälven.
Bergen.
Umeå Con, I think I read something about on
Some sort of gaming
media. Not science fiction convention, not yet. For a long time. But
we wait for Henderson to make its mark.
You can make one.
Well, that's I'm going to be moving back there, and is there? So I just wanted to check if there was anything.
There has been attempts, but
local
nothing regular.
Local will be delighted if you go there and ask that.
So next question, we have the lady here with the small kid.
At first in fandom, I'm quite new, at first I was really confused why there was no, why there weren't more like used caps than around Orca had 10 years ago, or more attempts to get more people in, why there weren't advertisements or posters or anything. And then I thought about it, and it was like a big revelation that there doesn't have to be, because in fandom, I think one of the things that make fandom what it is that there doesn't have to be any new members, really. It can just be a group of people hanging out. And of course, we have to be welcoming to new people, but there's a difference between being welcoming and between actively recruiting, because one of the things I think that makes fandom so open and welcoming to people who might seem strange or have is that there's no need to appear normal, or there's no need to appear like, hey, we're a bunch of really happy people hanging out, come join us. Just there can just be like, yeah, this is us, we do this, if you want to come you can, but we don't try to drag you into it. I don't see.
Fia, you had your comment?
Actually, as I said, I just started this group in Malmö 3 years ago, so we are actively expanding and we are growing every day. So I think the thing is, we don't use advertisement because we're not a commercial company or anything. We are a group of unrelated fans who just have this loose network, and we use the word of mouth, so that's how we meet, and I think we are growing very much.
So thank you to my panelists and for the audience for listening, and in 15 minutes in Tellus.
Musiken av Psychedelic Pedestrian från Free Music Archive. Besök gärna vår hemsida på svekonpoddar.se.